sin, Lord God, to death on the cross. We thank you for his great sacrifices. We remember his sacrifice on this fourth Sunday in Lent. We thank you. Holy God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And for your abundance of your grace and mercy, we thank you. So, Lord God, speak now, for we're listening. Speak, Lord, for your children need to hear a word from you. We always need to hear from you, Lord God. So speak through me, Lord God, and speak in spite of me. And Lord God, put me behind the cross of Jesus. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So we give God thanks and praise for all God has done and for what God continues to do in our lives. Thanks be to God. My sermon title, as you know, I'm doing a series of psalms during this Lenten season, and this is the prayer of rest. And we've been doing our Wednesday Bible study in the evening. I am doing three Bible studies, and so I think I'm so steeped in the Word, and yet you think you're steeped in the Word, and then you read something, and you're not really steeped in it. You think you know it, but you really don't, because it's so huge, isn't it? And wonderful and marvelous. But we have been doing this study, and we're choosing to do it here also as we tie it together. And this week is the prayer of rest. The prayer of rest. And I'll begin with this reflection. It's called Jimmy Stewart's Reliance on God. And those of us who knew about Jimmy Stewart, some of the younger ones may not know, but you know his movies. It's one of that movie that is so popular about Christmas, I forget, is by Jimmy Stewart. And just a wonderful actor, olden actor, he's going home to be with the Lord. And the word says, actor Jimmy Stewart found comfort in Psalm 91. When the United States entered World War II in 1941, Stewart enlisted in the Army Air Corps and prepared to go overseas. Stewart's father, Alex, choked up when he tried to bid him farewell. And so he wrote a note for his son to read en route. After being shipped out, Jimmy read the words his father had been unable to say aloud. My dear Jim boy, soon after you read this letter, you will be on your way to the worst sort of danger. Jim, I am banking on the enclosed copy of the 91st Psalm. The thing that takes the place of fear and worry is the promise of these words. I am staking my faith in these words. I feel sure that God will lead you through this experience, writes the father. I can say no more. I only continue to pray. Goodbye, my dear. God bless you and keep you. I love you more than I can tell you, Dad. As a veteran of the Spanish-American War, Alex knew the comforting power of Psalm 91, 3-5, those preparing for battle. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Jimmy Stewart returned home a decorated war hero, unarmed, even though his record included 20 combat missions. During the height of the battle, Stewart said he learned to lean on the words of his tattered copy of Psalm 91, especially verses 1 and 2. We speak of God as a refuge and a fortress. Upon returning home, he told his father, what a promise for an airman. I place in his hands the squadron I would be leading. And as the psalmist promised, I felt myself borne up on the wings of God. Amen? Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is said to be a psalm of rest, seeking rest in troubling times. Friends, we need rest, don't we? We need physical rest. We need emotional rest. We need mental rest. And we need spiritual rest, which is the ability to connect beyond the physical and the mental and to feel a deep sense of belonging, love, acceptance, and purpose. We need rest. Do you know, I'd like to share this with you, that there are over one of our largest numbers of pastors being ordained or lay pastors, local pastors, largest number retiring or taking leave that we have seen through the United Methodist Church, and other denominations are facing this, as happened to the New York Annual Conference. Our bishop spoke to us last week, those who are our parish coordinators, we coordinate certain districts, certain churches in our districts. He told us, and we know it now, there's 36 openings, the highest we have seen. Pastors retiring who don't, they have not reached mandatory retirement as yet, but after certain number, you could retire at any time, but certainly if you're after serving a certain number of years, you could do full retirement. Pastors retiring, pastors taking leave of absence, and pastors taking sabbatical. They're weary and they're tired. We're all thinking about it, all of us pastors, and we get a certain time when we must put out, we could ask for that. And why? Not only are our congregations weary and have their own struggles, but we too, pastors too, are weary. Not being able to visit folks they want to. They've been doing funerals and death, and people have died. You can't get to the hospital. People are calling you. And there is, when I think of, there's six, we're up to six folks or seven folks who have passed through this congregation, who have died last year from this congregation. Right? And so the burden of it comes to you, plus your own personal burden. And then people forget that Sunday morning when we stand here for an hour or 10 minutes or whatever it may be, this is not the larger part of our job. It takes us a part of it to get ready, to get our word ready, but there is a financial aspect. All the things we have to worry about. Worry about, is apportionment paid? Worry about, is a committee doing this? Worry about what's happening to Sunday school? Worry about, it is a constant worry on a human toll. And then so in the midst of the pandemic, right, just as our youth, our friends, you all, our members are weary, pastors are weary. And if you check out on the pulpit supply survey, the pulpit survey, you will find out throughout the denominations, many pastors are just saying they cannot do anymore. They've got to go do something else or retire. So we are looking for, the cabinet is faced now a daunting task of 36 and counting of pastors who are saying. A pastor friend of mine just told me, and I said, "You're what?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, they asked him, "Would you come back to do retired?" And he said, "No, I'm just going to rest. I've been pastoring for 31 years consecutively without sabbatical or without leave." The weariness. We all need rest. Our members need rest from their jobs. We have had so many Zoom meetings and all the meetings. Some days you get up and it was not for the mercy of God and the grace of God. You say, "Listen, Lord, you called me into this to lead you to into this work, and I've done my bit. Thanks be to God." Because of the weariness. And you individually understand it in your own lives, needing rest. But thanks be to God for His word. It is said that throughout the psalm, the writer assumes, the writer of this psalm assumes that the people need rest from the stresses and the troubles of life. That we need rest from it. It is overwhelming, right? People are unemployed. People can't pay their bills. Some of us are very lucky that we We work online and we still have jobs. There are many folks who don't. We need rest. It is a difficult time. And if we do not know the word of God, we could just keel over, can't we? You just can't get up some days. And so the psalmist writes. Here are the key words of the psalm as I get to the gospel. The psalmist says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow or the shade of the Almighty. Friends, you cannot go through this without what? Without what? Dwelling. And even when you're dwelling, all of these pastors hopefully were dwelling, right, in the shelter of the Most High. But even then, you could get overwhelmed. He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That means when you're getting weary, you are reminded that He's your refuge. What does a refuge mean? Some place that you could run to. A refuge, what is a fortress that protects you from this mental stress and this spiritual stress you're going through. Protects us. He says, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Surely God will take care of us from all that we are facing, from sorrow, from pain, from trials. Surely. Does it happen that times you just don't believe that? Trust me, I'm telling you, there are times that the very clergy person who is telling somebody that is themselves hurting, right? They said, pastors, we too have to have pastors. We're supposed to have groups who helps us. Other colleagues who we come together, our colleagues. We're supposed to make networks so we ourselves can be ministered to, right? Because we are also human beings with pain and suffering and ups and downs, right? And that, and we call on God, and there are moments that we do not believe we hear God. We saw it in the Gospels. We see it in the Scriptures, I mean. That David would call out to God, where are you, God? Right? The great writers in the Bible would call out to God. God, are you here? God, are you with me? Can't you just show me a sign, right, that you're with me? And then the writer continues, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will take refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And there are times when we're so overwhelmed with the work and all of that, we forget that God is faithful, right? He's faithful to us. God is faithful. God is faithful to us. And so these four verses of Psalm 91 establish the fundamental principle that God protects His loved ones. That God will protect His loved ones. Does that mean that it's always, that you always feel it? Truth be told, there are times that we don't feel it. We have to get on our knees and seek God. There are times you don't feel it. You want to feel the presence of God and you don't. And that's not a surprise to God. Because there's nothing is hidden from God's eye. God knows how we feel. And we can pretend to other people that we're so well and we got it all together. And in truth, we don't have it together. But thanks be to God for His Holy Spirit that lives within us, that can groan our very yearnings and pain unto God. And then he goes on, the psalmist says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. I would consider myself a person of relatively strong faith. I would consider myself, I've gone through a lot, because it's never enough, right? But even in there times when I say to God, God, enough already. Enough this moment, God. Could God, are you testing me, testing my strength? God, you could go to somebody else, Lord God. And I thank God that God is like that and God doesn't judge me. I thank God that I don't have to pretend before God. I don't have to pretend that I'm superhuman before God. I could humble myself before God. I could weep before God. I could tell God that I can't do any more. Or God, if you don't show up for me, something is going to break because I'm at a breaking point, Lord God. I thank God that I have that relationship with God. I thank God that I learned that relationship at the feet of my mother, who would always says, give it to the Lord in prayer. Whatever you're going to, give it to the Lord in prayer. As my mother was losing her sight to detach retina, by the time she went home to be with the Lord, have lost most of her sight. She would never curse God. Dude always says, I'm giving it to the Lord in prayer. He'll take care of me. Sometimes you just want to run and keep running. But you remember these words. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. I says, Lord God, I don't want 1,000 pastors to fall. Lord God, I don't want them to fall. I don't want all 400 pastors. I don't want us all to fall. We'll fall at your right side, but you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the psalmist says, the Lord is my refuge. And if you make the Most High your dwelling place, no harm will overtake you. The key is that we have to make the Lord our refuge. If I did not make the Lord my refuge, I don't know what I would do in these times. Times of trouble, personal trouble, church situation, life issues, things like that. What would we do? We heard yesterday, last week, a young pastor, young youth minister from Wethersfield United Methodist Church, wonderful preacher from Haiti, wonderful young man, 43 years old, had been diagnosed right before COVID started, end of 2019, with lung cancer. Just a wonderful, 43 years old, went home to be with the Lord. Yesterday was his funeral. Wethersfield United Methodist Church. And I knew that young man. He sang. I remember seeing him when he came from Haiti and knew God had great work for him to do. And he did great work in his 15 years in America, in Connecticut, in his church, leaving his wife and 3 children. And then you says, God, not again. Please, God, not again. But you continue to trust God because he loves us. He said, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him for acknowledging my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. And this is where we get our rest from. This is where we get our mental rest from. And our physical rest. That's why we fight sometimes when it's our day off. And so to take rest, to not deal with church work, because we need a moment. Right? We need a moment when we carve out a little space for ourselves. We need a moment to think and reflect. People call us, and you know, I'm sure the mental stress is on many of you right now and what's going on. And let me tell you, those who are not on Zoom every day don't have a clue how tense that can be. But those of us who have to be in 3, 4, 5 Zoom meetings, that alone could give you mental stress. That alone. You hear me? Sometimes you look at it and you want to blow up the computer. Right? It is very tense when you're on 1, 2, 3 meetings. We know we still have to continue to do church. Our annual conference, I believe, is going to be on Zoom. How we miss coming together just to get the freedom of the conference going there. Pray for us as we pray for you. But here is the faithfulness of God. Here is how we have the spiritual rest, right? Here's how we have the spiritual. Because of God's faithfulness to us, God would send Jesus, right? That's how we have that spiritual rest. Because even though we have all these things going on in our life, we know the truth that what? That we, if we believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, that we have a home in heaven. That we don't have to worry about our destination. We don't have to worry about where we're going to go. Jesus says here, he says here in John 3, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And why? No matter what we are going through, we are reminded. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Every time I'm getting weary, I think, but God loves me. You can do the same. God, you're going to bring me through this, not because I'm good, not because I'm perfect, but because you love me. His grace and his mercy, not by works, why he loves us, but through his grace and his mercy. And then he says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. He did not send Jesus to condemn us, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Right, that we're saved through Jesus Christ. That's my hope, that when we leave this place, we've got a place that will give us rest forever and ever and ever. Amen? That we do not have to worry so much about where we're going. He says, those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe in him are condemned already. He says, for the light came into the world and evil did not see the light. But for those of us who believe in him, you see, we must believe in him in order to find, to feel this spiritual rest. So here are the benefits of this spiritual rest, right? Here's what. First, we must what? We must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? In order to have this spiritual rest, It results in a change in our relationship with God. By accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are no longer enemies of God, but we have become children of God. We belong to the family of God. And we are reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we get spiritual rest. And all that's going on, all the hard work of being a pastor and all the ups and downs, is to be reminded that individually we are children of God. Doesn't matter what my job is. Doesn't matter what my responsibility is. Each and every one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are children of God. We have been included in the family. Number two, it results in a change in our position. When we accept Jesus Christ, we are now part of God's kingdom. We are members of God's family. And friends, guess what? Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we will never lose our salvation. When I heard that Jude, his name is Pastor Jude, passed away, only good thing I could say, or the one thing that could give me hope was that he loved the Lord. And he loved preaching God's gospel. And I knew that his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I just knew it. We knew it, all of us. So we could hope in that he has gone home to meet Jesus. And we together as a United Methodist conference, we will help to support his children and do what we have to do as three children. But we know that he's been saved. That's the hope that we have. That's what gives us spiritual rest, right? It is the knowing that God loves us and that cares about us. Right? God loves us more than we could think or imagine. And number three, it results in a change in our attitude. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we got a change in attitude. The Holy Spirit will work in us, sealing us as God's children, transforming our hearts. And living out so that Christ can be lived out through us, friends, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because remember, for God so loved the world, but we must what? Believe. We must believe that God sent his Son for us. And the last point, it results in a change in our destination. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as I said earlier, Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. That's the promise, friends. And does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. That is in John 5:24. This is a guarantee that we are forever children of God and our eternal destiny is in heaven is secure. That gives us spiritual rest. You see, we could work on our physical rest. We could get rest, take off from work, turn off the TV, turn off Zoom when it's over, do whatever, get off Twitter. That's physical rest and mental rest. Shut some things down, turn off the phone, don't go on there and gossip. Don't talk and talk till you're so tired, you're so weary, you can't even sleep. That's mental rest. We could do that. Emotional. Emotional rest we could work on. We could work on, you know, getting ourselves by reading good books and, you know, go for a walk and look at the sunset or walk up and down West Oak Country Road and look at the cars trying to run over each other. Whatever it is, that would drive you crazy. You could find a park to walk. We could work on our emotional rest, right? But our spiritual rest, the only way we're going to get spiritual rest, friends, is to know that we have what? We have been saved by Jesus Christ, and we have been saved through grace. Only way we're going to get spiritual rest is to know that the Lord is with us. It's to know that we could depend on Him. It's to know that He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And when I'm weary, I just call on His name. He says, call on me and I will answer and I'll show you new and mighty things that you do not know. He says in Isaiah, He says, you know, will I ever forget you? I've engraved you in the palm of your hands. I've engraved you in the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. And every now and then I say to God, God, look in your hands and see me. My walls are shaking. My walls are weak. My walls are weary, Lord God. Could you just look and see that I need you? I need you now more than I've ever needed you. I need you. And somehow, somewhere in that small voice in my head I could hear and in my heart, Jesus says, it's okay, my daughter. It's okay, my child. I got you. I got you. And that gives you one more day to get up and keep going. To all of us, friends. There's some young people I know who suffer from depression and some other things that I know through this ministry. There are a couple of grown-ups I know who's having some deep trouble with depression. And all I can say to them is, Jesus is with you. You could call on Him. Hold on to His hands. Cry to Him. Don't pretend, because He knows you by name. And most of all, He loves you. Loves you and me. And He knows us by name. Thanks be to God for His faithfulness. And I pray that you will have rest, knowing that if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, He'll abide with you. And you can abide in Him. Amen.